Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve, Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crime. Greetings, everyone. This is Ruth Frazier, and I have a very exciting program for you today. We are honored to have with us in studio Mr. Bill Jurek, the director of Chris Radio, and he's going to introduce Miss Sandy Murillo, the associate producer of Chris Radio, right here at the Chicago Lighthouse. So welcome to the program, both Bill and Sandy.
Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, Ruth. Thanks.
Yep.
Bill, we're going to start off by you sharing with our audience a little bit about yourself, and then please introduce Sandy.
Well, I've been here for, almost 10 years now, and director for six, and very fortunate to have this position, to be able to stay in the career that I enjoyed for all my life, as a matter of fact. This coming fall will mark 47 years. In broadcasting, so it's been a nice roller coaster ride. And Sandy is a young lady who came to us. How did you call? Didn't you? You were looking for work.
Yeah. So I'm Sandy Murillo, and I'm an associate producer here at Chris, and I also have other duties here at the Lighthouse. But yeah, I was just out of college, got my degree in journalism. And so I was looking around for jobs, internships. Someone suggested, call Bill Jurek. He's the director of Chris Radio at the Lighthouse. And I called, and he mentioned that there were internship opportunities here with Chris Radio. And the rest is history. I've been here for almost 2 years now. And
it's been
over two years, actually.
Yeah. You're that young, huh? And just got out of school at that point?
Just got out of school, fresh out of University of Illinois.
Right, School of Journalism. And you know, that was the impressive thing, Ruth, because Sandy didn't let the grass grow under her feet.
Okay.
Having a disability, she just sloughed it off. Went on and pursued something she really enjoyed, and she does it very well.
Mm-hmm.
She has grown immensely since she's been with us here at the Lighthouse. She originally started, what were we having you do first when you started here?
I helped out here at Chris with doing research, finding new stories for our radio show called The Beacon.
Right.
And also recording segments about disabilities, technology.
Which was a big move for you because you didn't, I don't think you've ever done audio.
You were mostly print. I had very little experience. I had done an internship prior to the Lighthouse at the Progress Center for Independent Living. Mm-hmm. They're out in the south suburbs of Chicago. And they have a internet radio station. Mm-hmm. So I actually did, you know, a little bit of stuff with them in Spanish, because I'm also fluent in Spanish. Mm-hmm. I did briefly about assistive technology, and that only lasted a couple months because of funding and different other concerns, different issues. Mm-hmm. But I think that actually helped me. You know, it really helped me here get started and get my foot in the door here at the Lighthouse as well.
She was a great, great researcher.
Okay.
And being that she has the journalism background that she has, I felt it was important for her to be able to use that and to be able to explore. See, that's the nice thing of what we do. Mm-hmm. When you become an intern with us, you not only do things behind the scenes, but you also have an opportunity to be on the air.
Great.
And I think it was like when I told you when we had the idea of putting you on the radio as part of the Beacon Show, mm-hmm. that it'll be something that you could take with you.
Yeah.
That if you move on to a professional broadcast station, that you'll be able to have this as an example of the work that she did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she's moved on quite a bit. She's got an interesting and exciting opportunity coming up on July 1st. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I moved on from being an intern to a part-time development assistant here at our financial development department. That happened in October of 2014, which is the year I started. And now, on July 1st, I'll actually be coming on board full-time as a development assistant.
Congratulations.
So that's, and you know, that's something both exciting and to me, it's, I guess in a way, it's almost symbolic because as a child, I lost my sight when I was about 2 years old. I had glaucoma. I was born with it. So shortly after I lost my sight, I actually received services here from the Lighthouse through our early intervention program, the Birth to Three program.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, I'm here working here both with our fundraising efforts, with our social media team, and also with the radio station. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's it's wonderful. It's almost a
and she
full
has
circle.
She has a connection to our school, too, because the director of our school, Lee
Berkland
was one of her early childhood teachers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is really great.
You know, so the Lighthouse has played a role in her life one way or another all along the career. Yeah.
So
what made you choose University of Illinois for journalism?
You know, there were different aspects. I think certainly, you know, that it's one of the best, mm-hmm. one of the top-rated journalism programs, I should say, mm-hmm. in the United States. And also the services for people with disabilities. As I mentioned, I myself am blind, so I had actually gone to a community college, and I wasn't too impressed with the services.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt ready, you know, to expand my horizons, go away from home, go to school, you know, to a different...
She wanted to become a wild child. She would admit that on the radio, you know?
Did you commute to classes or were you living on campus?
I was actually living on campus.
Oh, that's
I lived
really
in the
exciting.
Dorm and, you know, I had that full experience. And I also wanted to bring up that thanks to those accommodations at U of I, you know, in my opinion, you know, they were great. They allowed me to succeed and to become an advocate for myself because that's something that they also emphasize.
Mm-hmm.
But those accommodations, they really helped me, you know, both in classes as well in my social life and mm-hmm. so.
Made her independent.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the important thing for a lot of people out there who are blind. Don't be dependent on someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. You're only hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, someday, that person may not be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself. So the best thing is learn it on early. Mm-hmm. You know, learn how to cook for yourself, learn how to, you know, do the laundry, simple things.
Right.
But in addition to that, learn how to make a living.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's the way you spend the 30-year life. Did you always want to do journalism?
You know, that interest started when I was about 16 years old, maybe, sometime in high school.
Where'd you go to high school?
Thornwood High School in South Holland.
South Holland, yeah.
South
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Were you involved in, like, the school newspaper or?
Yeah, I actually, well, what was cool is that they had a class, you know, about newspaper editing, and then a lot of the stories were published in our school newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually also involved, besides journalism, I am very interested in disability issues, which is partly why I like my job here at the Lighthouse. But I actually, in my high school, I helped establish what was called the ABLE Club. And that was stood for Advocates for a Better Learning Environment. So basically, you know, we went around. There was a few students with disabilities went around and looking at what was accessible, what needed improvements. Mm-hmm. And we helped advocate for our needs and for those of other future students as well.
So you got a really early start.
Very early. And then I think that, you know, since I grew up as a person with a disability and I've seen all the stereotypes, the misconceptions, you know, I think that I can relate to a lot of it and, you know, identify this as one of my causes, you know, advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen her at the gala dinner that the Lighthouse held a few weeks back.
Okay.
She was absolutely fantastic. she went up there, she told her story, and then she helped out with the live auction. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, it was like a bidding thing, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and she did very, very well. Mm-hmm. Very comfortable in a room full of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's something I've always enjoyed, you know, public speaking. I was telling our CEO, Janet Slick, that, you know, ever since I was a child, I remember going, because I was, I went to the regular public school system, which means that I was, you know, mainstreamed in the classes with other students without disabilities, you know, sighted students. So sometimes my teacher of the visually impaired, she would have me, you know, go up to in front of the class and tell them a little bit about my vision impairment and, you know, the different tools I use. So I think that that helped me become comfortable. You know?
You've done that for the Lighthouse too, haven't you? You've gone out and spoke.
To different, the Lions Clubs, for example, and other events.
Mm-hmm. So she's getting to be a real spokesman, a real, Janet likes to call it, ambassador.
Okay.
And she, I think because of her personality and everything, Sandy is the perfect person to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I can do it.
And we're damn glad to have you here.
And I second that.
That's right, exactly.
Exactly. Now, Sandy and Bill, you mentioned that you help with a program called Beacon. Could either of you tell us exactly what that is?
I think Bill can.
No, well, that's been around for 8 years now.
Okay.
It's on WCPT 820 AM. Mm-hmm. Every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 o'clock. And where Sandra gives a big help is she does her blog. Mm-hmm. Sandy's View is part of that show.
Mm-hmm.
She works on other stories for the program. And she also does research on guests for the show that are doing research in different eye conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then our co-host is Lainey Kleeman. And she talks about... she's got a segment. It's a cute title. It's called Lettuce, Turn Up the Beet. And you think about it. Lettuce, Turn Up the Beet. And what it is it talks about how to make vegetables appealing to everybody in your family so you get away from the dependence on meat.
Okay.
And then we have Tom's Corner, which is Tom Persky, who is the vice president in charge of our school, not our school, our Tools for Living store downstairs. And what he does is he brings around new technology and talks about road shows that the department does.
Mm-hmm.
So that people can be aware that the Lighthouse is on the move and could be in your area. So stop by and see what kind of stuff that he has to offer for sale.
You know? Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
So what is the comment?
To who?
What is the distribution of that particular program? Who do you reach? What is your
audience? Well, we reach anywhere from Fort Wayne, Indiana, mm-hmm. to the Mississippi River, up north to just south of Green Bay, and then north of Danville, Illinois, to the south. And as far as the audience is concerned, it's really hard to tell. Mm-hmm. Because the ratings that are done on radio on the weekend are not as they're not as fluid as they are during the week. Mm-hmm. So we have to rely basically on what we hear from the station. It's roughly about anywhere between 100 to maybe 180,000 people.
That's wonderful.
That listen to the program. And that's early in the morning, so mm-hmm. you can have cereal and your bird toast and that with us. And we'll tell you about different things that are going on, too. We're going to start a new segment in a few weeks. We're not really talking. This is going to be the first time we're going to be mentioning it. But we're going to be featuring news of the Lions Clubs. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be all of the Lions Clubs in the Chicago metropolitan area so that people can get out, join the functions, make contributions so that the Lions can help people in their individual communities as well.
Okay, now this is breaking news, Chicagoland. You heard it first right here on Building Community, Strengthening Nations. The Beacon Show is going to bring you a brand new section.
Yep, exactly. You know, and like I said, Sandy is going to stay with us. She's not going away.
Good.
She does a lot of interviews mm-hmm. that are not necessarily related only to Sandy's view, but to other things as well. You've had quite a few interesting topics that you have covered over the time that you've been doing it. What do you think is a couple of them that were really impressive to you?
You know, there's been a few. I did one a couple months ago with a gentleman named Tommy Edison, and he...
he invented the light bulb.
Well, that one too, but, you know, he hasn't been on our show lately, Bill. No, but Tommy Edison, he actually calls himself the blind film critic.
Uh-huh.
And he has a lot of videos on YouTube and basically explaining and showing what life is like as a person who is blind or visually yeah. impaired. You know, he has this cool video on how to use, you know, when you use an ATM, when you're blind or visually impaired, how you might struggle finding the different, you know, sure. components to the machine. Mm-hmm. He has another video, for example, showing how people cross the street. You know, and what's nice about it, when what really struck me, is that these videos are both informative and funny. You know, they have a right. great sense of humor. And so I think that's one of the ones that recently, you know, it's been one of my favorites.
Good. And anything else that tripped your trigger?
I think go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, since I do a lot of technology stuff mm-hmm. and focus on a lot of disability-related, technology is always one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up with using different assistive technology, and I think that's something that I've always found fascinating. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, how smartphones are helping out, you know, people who are blind or visually impaired. So that's always been fascinating to me.
Unless you have a techno idiot like me.
And me.
Who turns a smartphone into a dumb phone, you know, because I can't do it the right way. Do you know, I heard an interesting thing, and maybe you'd be interested in it, Sam. If a person travels who's blind, traveling alone, and wants to find their suitcase on a turnstile,
mm.
What they do is they have this device, I guess, or they have it, they've hooked it up themselves. But what they do is they put a doorbell in the suitcase so that when the suitcase is starting mm-hmm. to come down, they press the button.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll go ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. So they know where their suitcase is.
Yeah, because that's honestly one of the trickiest parts.
Yep.
Right. So it's like a remote that you have in your hand that's going to pick up.
A regular doorbell, sign. Yeah. Uh-huh. Regular doorbell, yeah. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. It just shows you, you know, how creative I think you have to be as a person who's blind or visually impaired to, you know, do things that sighted people might not have to think about, you know, if I don't think about often.
Do you know what else you need too? And I think Sandy will agree. You need common sense.
That's so true.
You need common sense, and you have to learn early that you don't rush into things like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to think your way through it. Mm-hmm. And by thinking your way through it, it makes you a better and more mature person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, like somebody said to me, oh, I have a guide dog. And somebody, people have said to me, oh, he stops at the curb. Well, how come he didn't go when you gave him the command to go? Mm-hmm. And my response usually is, listen, I don't want to get hit, and I'm sure he doesn't want to get hit either, so he's not going to walk out into traffic. You know, that's how smart these dogs are.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, you get whatever helps you have the best mobility.
Yes.
You get the situation that fits your needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people like dogs. Sandra and I were talking about it. I wouldn't be without one.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra wants to wait maybe a little bit and see if, you know, it's going to be something right for her.
Okay.
You know, and that's the important thing people should know is that, you know, not everything is right for everybody.
Now, Bill, did you have dogs before you lost
your kid? I always had dogs all my life.
Okay. Yeah. And what about you, Sandy?
No, I actually haven't had a dog, but, you know, I grew up around a lot of relatives and neighbors and stuff that, you know, did have dogs, so I'm used to it, you know. And I love dogs. It's,
she had a brother, too, you know.
So. that too.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's something that you've got to decide when is the right time for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as I lost my vision, I said, this is it. I'm not messing around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for a dog because going to work was the job.
Mm-hmm.
The job was nothing compared to getting to and from.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hard part.
Right, right. And the fact that you had that dog, he's also your friend, in addition to being someone that, not someone, but something.
Right, right.
That can be like a colleague for you because he's helping you through the work process of getting to where you need to be.
And if you want to have a dog, don't treat it like a cane, because the dog is a creature, and the dog works all day with you, and the dog wants to go home and play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a cane, you throw it in a corner, you sit in the chair, and you can fall asleep.
Well, which is home, what I prefer to do at
which
the
is
moment.
What, yeah, even at her ripe old age of what, you know, she still prefers to do that. But the point is, when you have a dog, you have to come home, you have to feed the dog, you have to take the dog out. And the dog expects you to play, too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so there is responsibility that goes along with it. And if you're not willing to accept it, then it's not the right thing for you.
And you have to take care of his health. You've got to take care of the emotional needs
Absolutely.
Of the dog.
Absolutely.
Well, it's like one of my friends said, it's almost like having a toddler, you know, or a young child. You know,
constantly.
Yeah.
It doesn't grow up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just stays a toddler, you know, and they're always glad to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what, they're always glad to see, and it's true what they say. Dogs give you unconditional love. They will not, you know, you can be as mean to them earlier because you're having a bad day, they'll still come back to you at night.
Because
they're your buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, I wanted to ask both of you, because we're going to cover a little bit more about Sandy's blog in a minute. But, you know, as you're saying, to be independent, how do you handle money? Because I've heard some people that were visually impaired say that just trying to make business transactions and knowing the change that people are giving you is correct. How do you deal with that?
I think that's one of the biggest challenges here, at least here in the United States, because at the moment, our currency doesn't have any type of tactile or distinguishable, you know, form.
Mm-hmm.
So what most of us do is, you know, first of all, it involves a lot of trust, you know, that you'll get the right bill handed to you, that someone will tell you, will be honest. Mm-hmm. When they tell you they're handing you a $5 bill or $10 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Second, organize it. You know, you have to fold it differently. For example, you know, you can keep one straight and then fold the $5 bills in halves, tenths and fourths. So it really depends on each person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and in today's technology, you know, there are other devices or even apps on your phone that can tell you, you know, what kind of denomination it is.
You may find out you got a $100 bill there and not even know it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a common question that a lot of people ask about currency, and that the National Library Association, NLS, National
Library Service.
What's it stand for? Yeah.
Library Service.
They have a device out that you can order. And what it is, you scan it over the bill and it tells you what it is. You know, so, I mean, that's the technology is coming along the way. They're also, I know last year, about 3 years ago, they were working on paper currency.
Yep.
Where they were putting dots on the bills. But you see, the problem is, in this country, too, we take a dollar bill and we put it in a machine.
Right.
Yep.
And it
yep.
goes through rollers. So they have to figure out a way to make it that that dot doesn't get pressed down.
Right,
exactly. You know, it goes through the rollers and that, so, yeah.
Even to count the money in the bank, the counting machine puts it through a rolling
exactly.
system.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah, so, you know, but it's like the device where you were talking about, the we were both talking about from NLS. That enables a lot of people to work, to have their own business and be able to handle cash, and they have cash registers that talk to you and everything, so you know what's going on.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left.
Why?
Well, because we're going to do a second show, but for this show, we only have a couple minutes left, Bill, and I wanted to ask you, Sandy, give us a few of the topics in Sandy's blog, and where does it appear, and how can our listeners tune in to enjoying it?
Yeah, so this blog, you can easily find it on our Chicago Lighthouse website,
which is
www.chicagolighthouse.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right on our homepage. And we have covered actually a variety of topics. We have over 64 different blog posts and about 55 different commentaries.
Are they archived? Can we access them?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they're all on our website. And briefly, this blog, it's created both to inform the general public about vision impairment and blindness, and to also let people with vision impairments know what's out there. Some of the topics include, I've answered questions as interesting as, how do blind people take pictures? How do we cross the street? Things even like what it's like to parent, you know, be a parent as a someone who's blind or visually impaired. And even about things on the news, about museums that are being made more accessible. So there's a variety of topics.
Okay. Well, again, Chicagoland, we have had the pleasure of listening to Bill Jurek, director of Chris Radio and host of The Beacon. And Sandy, please pronounce your last name again for us.
Murillo.
Murillo, who is the associate producer here at Chris Radio. And tell us your other title coming up for July 1st.
And I am also a development assistant here at the Chicago Lighthouse.
Wonderful. And we'd also like to thank Brian Hawkins, assistant director of Chris Radio, and also our sound engineer and producer for Chris Radio, for the wonderful job he does. And I'm just so pleased and honored to have this special team in studio with us today. Bill, please close our program.
Me?
Yes, sir.
All I want to say is thanks to Brian, who does that voodoo that he do so well, because he makes us all sound very good. And Ruth,
no
thanks
question.
For inviting us to be
yeah,
there, too.
Thank you.
And it's the biggest pleasure I get is being able to introduce someone like Sandra. Because she's young, she's vibrant, she's involved, she's independent, and she is a very intelligent young lady, and she's a tremendous asset, not only to Chris Radio, but she's a tremendous asset to the Chicago Lighthouse. You know, we were kidding around, and she said she doesn't want to be the director before. Someday she'll end up being a vice president, I think, if she sticks around long enough.
Yes, indeed.
She's very good. She's an extremely talented young lady.
Oh, thanks, Bill. And it's truly an honor to be here at a place like the Lighthouse.
Okay, now that we're done slapping everybody on the back, that'll do it, Ruth.
Chicagoland, have a great week, and tune in next week for a lively discussion. Bye now.